Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Minnesota. This is Access Astrology, a show where three astrologers get to share what we love about astrology with you. We talk about the astrology of the moment, what's going on in the world, how that reflects the chart of the moment, how you might be able to work with it best, and then we take callers and answer emails. I am normally joined by Mark Waltz and Ann Ortley, though we've had some strange problems with connection on the radio these days, so I'm hoping that we come back online and everybody's here. In the meantime, today is the day after that beautiful full moon. Did you see that glowing on the eastern horizon just as the sun was setting? For the last couple of days, that Capricorn moon has been huge. And the Capricorn moon is an interesting time. It brings up the balance between our ability to nurture ourselves and our ability to work, between how we perceive the world and how what we want to make happen. That's normal for that full moon. This full moon was conjunct Pluto. It was just the day after the Pluto moon conjunction. And the Pluto moon conjunction talks about power dynamics. What do we do in the name of power? And the Republican Convention has been a really interesting example. But there have been many around the globe of the question is, how do we handle power? Do we do it in a clean and self-responsible way, or do we blame other people for our power, our loss of it, our lack of it? Do we take on the responsibility and work with it? Do we try to reach across the aisle and create connection? Now, this has been tricky all for the last 2 weeks as Mars, still moving very slowly, it retrograded back in Scorpio for the last couple of months, turned direct around 23 degrees of Scorpio, and has only moved to 25 degrees. It's still moving slowly. And it has been forming an inconjunct to Uranus at 24 degrees of Aries for the last few weeks. Now, again, it's been an unusually long inconjunct. Inconjuncts have a very narrow orb, only 2 degrees, and we don't see them. So normally this moves by quite quickly, but because Mars is still moving slowly from having turned direct, it's taking a while to get going. And I think I'm joined here today by Mark. Is that all? Mark, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Heather. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good.
How did you feel that full moon, that incredible full moon in Capricorn?
It was nice. I liked it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you notice about it? I mean, it certainly was interesting watching the dynamics of that play out in the around the power dynamics at the Republican convention. But what else have you seen with that?
Actually, I haven't, other than the things that have been in the headlines, I haven't seen too much reaction to it.
It's been pretty pleasant for you.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm feeling the difference. I felt the Uranus Mars inconjunct that's been really cooking us for a while is just starting to take a breath and give us a little room to breathe.
Yeah.
And it's been intense. I was at the funeral last week for Philandro Castillo with 3,000 people in the cathedral here in town. And I just feel that Mars Uranus in conjunct has been, you know, brought up so much violence around the place, but where it didn't, it just turned up the volume on emotions. And people have been highly emotional. And my clients have been crying, just about every single one of them. working through how do we handle that. It's been interesting to watch that balance. We want to take the energy of that and move it forward. So right now the moon is in Aquarius, which is lovely. It's opposing Mercury and Venus, both in Leo. And that Mercury and Venus in Leo, you know, can be so sweet, but it can also be so bombastic, you know. And yesterday, again, we're looking at the power of inconjuncts this week. 2 days ago when Melania Trump gave her talk and that turned out to be unbeknownst to her, I mean, she had quoted Michelle Obama directly to her speechwriter, and her speechwriter didn't realize it was a direct quote and directly quoted it back. And Melania didn't recognize that it was the same piece of speech she had just given. But there was an inconjunct that's, you know, for people that aren't familiar with inconjuncts, it's one sign off an opposition. It's 150 degrees. And inconjunct or quincunx between Mercury and Neptune, just as that whole misunderstanding was unfolding. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But it also has some sweet moments if we're just in a quieter time. With that Moon-Pluto conjunction in Capricorn, I had three clients who have dealt with cancer recently in the last couple of years who had gone back in this week to get scans to see how they were doing. And both of them went into the scan as Moon was heading into the conjunction with Pluto, really worried, afraid that they were going down again. And every one of them turned out to be okay.
Good.
Yeah. It was pretty lovely.
Yeah. Although, that is, we usually find that a little scary, the Moon Pluto.
Yeah.
But,
and it was. They were scared.
It can be a real burning out of a condition, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, a positive transformation.
Mm-hmm. And it's also helpful, all of these aspects, we can take that discomfort and bring it back to our spiritual practice.
Right.
On how has yoga been? You teach yoga on the front lines.
Right.
How have you noticed, and do you get a chance to read the different energies in your classes? Notice how they reflect the aspects?
Yeah, yeah. I feel people are paying more attention is the main thing I noticed in the last week or two. There's it's kind of a quiet attentiveness, but, you know, more of an intense attention on things.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And today Venus is trining Saturn.
Right.
And that helps stabilize, and Mercury just trined Saturn, and I think that's the stabilizing, the kind of centering down. If we choose to use that, that can be quite powerful, that centering down. It helps us remember what we love, who we care about, and what's going on. Now, I often see Saturn, what happens to Saturn tends to happen to the Republican Party, and one of the experience of Saturn has been this square Neptune all year, which has led to some confusion in the Republican Party. But today, while everybody is feeling, well, they're getting such good publicity in the convention, Venus is trining Saturn. So it may look a little different tonight than it was normally, maybe more upbeat than we think. Now,
it should.
Mm-hmm.
Venus trine Saturn is also good for money. Good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good time to get a raise.
Yeah. And good time to just be happy to see old friends, or to give, to feed those relationships that we've come to count upon.
Right.
Which is pretty lovely. This Friday, the moon enters Pisces as the sun enters Leo. And we go from sun in Cancer, moon in Aquarius, to sun in Leo, moon in Pisces. How do you see that happening, affecting people?
Well, moon in Pisces usually raises the sense of empathy and relating to others. And so I would expect to see an increase there, which, you know, usually shows up. You know, sometimes there's an event that people respond to. Moon in Pisces also can, people can really just sort of space out. So can go either way. And I imagine there'll be some of that. But with the sun in Leo, that's a really powerful time for the sun. The whole month that the sun is in Leo, that's the sign that the sun rules. And it's when, you know, the effect of the sun on our northern hemisphere is the strongest, you know. I mean, it's at its peak with the ingress into Cancer. But really the whole, everything warms. It's, you know, in many ways feels much warmer in August than it does in July. Because there's an accumulated warmth.
Yeah, and that's very Leo.
Right.
Now, I noticed that Donald Trump has 17 degrees of Leo rising. So just as this conference is coming off, Mercury and Venus will be conjunct his ascendant. And, you know, that's sort of making him, though Mars is square his Mars today, Mercury is trining, Mercury and Venus are close to his ascendant. And so how he looks to the public this week may be very different than how he looks to the public next week. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Okay.
And you know, it seems like the Leo season on a good day, it asks us to come back to ourselves and remember what we love and what we need, so that we can renew before winter hits and the hard work it comes. And why there's such great performing arts in the summertime. On a bad day, it seems like Leo in general can be very generous once it can really understand the other person's perspective, but often has a hard time. It doesn't make it that easy for us to get out of our shoes and walk in another person's shoes. We tend to kind of get more entrenched in our own perspective. And we're supposed to do that right now. We're supposed to fill up. But you might notice, any of us, that we have to consciously say to ourselves, I wonder what it's like to be them. I wonder why they feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Moon in Pisces will help bring us to that. That's only for a couple of days.
It does make us feel.
Then it goes into Aries, and it seems like the opposite.
On the 24th. Yeah, it kicks butt.
Yeah. Moon
so
in
it
Aries
looks like there's
Moon in Aries is low on the empathy
It just wants to just go. But if it knows what the problem is, it'll be happy to stand up for you.
Yeah, and actually to push things towards some kind of a solution, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that Mercury will be moving into a trine with Uranus next week, early next week, and that kind of kicks us into gear to make change happen. So it's a good, you know, towards the end of the week, we kind of want to see some change happening. We want to see something fresh and new. And so by the end of the week, when the moon goes into Aries, we want progress. So if you've got an idea to pitch or you want to make a change, it's a good time to do it.
That's the end
now,
of the end of the week.
Yep. So we have some people that are on the line, and let's give them a shot and see how they're doing. Now, I spoke to one or two of them before, but I can't remember which ones they are. I'm going to give it a shot.
Okay.
Hello, 585, you're on the line. How can we help you?
Hi, what a nice surprise. It's Aeolia in Rochester. I didn't have my hand raised, but I'm happy to chat with you.
Okay.
Thank you so much. 2-14-51.
2-14-1951. Mm-hmm.
Chicago, 9:06 a.m.
And what's your question?
Like to hear Uranus is transiting my ascendant, and we'll do it two more times. And I'd love to hear your perspective on that.
Well, if you've ever wanted to dye your hair purple, now is the time to do it.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
That's the funny thing. I keep thinking I should cut off my hair, but I don't really want to do it, and I have no desire to make it purple.
Okay, often Pluto, Uranus is going back and forth. It's changing your lens. It's changing how you see the world and the world sees you. And it could be change, and you know, just like you feel like you want to cut off your hair just because you want different. You might try starting off with leaving your hair long and see what else can you change so that you feel like how you're representing yourself to the world mirrors the changes that you've been going through for the last 8 years while Pluto was in your 12th house. So if you feel
Uranus
like you've
going
been...
You mean Uranus going through my 12th house?
Yeah, sorry. And
yeah,
if Uranus, well, Uranus is going through your 12th house, it brings a lot of psychological change. And now you're getting a chance to experience it in a physical way. Right? And you get to kind of show the world what's been going on inside of you. Now, there's no hurry on that. You know, it might be something simple like cutting your hair or not cutting your hair or suddenly deciding to wear a different color than you want to wear. Or it could be changing some key perspective that you've had. And that will be interesting to see what you do with it. Is there any changes in particular that you'd like to make?
Yeah. I still haven't moved. So a move out west is never off the table. And, and you know, when it went through my 12th house, it transited my stellium and
Jupiter,
Pisces.
Venus, Sun, North Node, yes.
Yeah, Jupiter, Venus, Mars, North Node.
Yeah, Mars, North Node. Yeah, you've been busy, girl.
Your progressed
sun just also your progressed sun just left the 30 years in Aries and went into Taurus only a few weeks ago. So you finished one 30-year cycle when your progressed sun changed sign. You're finishing another as Uranus goes back and forth across your ascendant. So you're really being reborn in a new phase. Last month, your progressed moon conjunct Neptune in Libra, and you didn't know where you live. You could dream about it, but it feels like you're going to be moving into a time when you want to not just dream about it, but do something. But it will feel natural, like you're growing into it. But Uranus asks you to experiment, you know, to go travel out west and look around and see what you feel like when you're out there.
Yeah. Well, and the progressed moon on Neptune is also making it hard for me to be 100% healthy as well, unfortunately.
But that looks like it's getting better as your progressed moon moves past Neptune in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
You're so sensitive. You want to move into a place where you are sensitive to health, not just sensitive to problems.
Mm.
And it would be really lovely for you to get past, you know, out west when you're near your sun, when all those your those planets move into your first house.
Yeah, my sun line goes like right through San Francisco, I think, if I recall
mm-hmm.
correctly.
Mm-hmm. And anywhere west of that, the sun is in the first house.
Mm-hmm.
And through Denver, Wyoming, and New Mexico, you have your Venus, Mars, Jupiter on the ascendant.
No wonder I felt
so that will be interesting.
In Northern Colorado. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm going to go on to the next one. We've got short time today, but good luck on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What a lovely
okay.
surprise.
Thank
be
you.
Be well.
Great.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
And hello, 434, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, my birthday is 8/14/1965 in San Francisco
mm-hmm.
at 1:30 p.m.
And what was your question?
I'm having some issues at work. I think someone is trying to undermine my job, trying to get
mm-hmm.
me out of there. And so
what's
I,
your job?
I work actually at one of the national parks out in Wyoming
mm-hmm.
at, for the government, for, you know. And so I work with the public as an interpreter. And it's been happening. I've been here since May 15th, and this has started manifesting at the beginning of June, and it's not really going away, and I thought I was dealing with it, but it keeps popping up, and so I thought I'd call and find out
it's
if there was...
It's interesting that Uranus hits your midheaven right through Wyoming. So
okay.
It is a place... Are you seen as someone who is creating change in that circumstance? Or they're afraid that what you're doing
yeah.
will cause change?
I think it's someone who sees me as, you know, my perception is this person sees me as dangerously left-wing and that it's their job to... out me, or, you know, not to be honest about that, but just to get me out
mm-hmm.
of this position. And mm-hmm. I am a woman who doesn't kowtow to men, and this is a man, and I have tried to minimize, I'm always seen as a change agent, no matter where I go.
Right.
So.
Well, you've got Uranus, Pluto, and Venus all in your 10th house. And
right,
that says
right,
the
yeah.
only way you're going to have job stability is if your job is to implement change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're there as a consultant to implement change, they love you. But
right.
since you're a change agent, if they don't want change, who do they hate?
Right.
Right.
And I think
and
my other coworkers are fine with me and appreciate, but this
mm-hmm.
person, if it's not a threat I have to worry about, if it's a way... You know, because this person started the same time I did, I've been trying to let them have enough rope because a lot of times I react before I need to. So I've just been trying to do my duty and not react. But I thought maybe
it
I
might
could be...
get a little bit better after after August 2nd when Mars goes
wow.
into Sagittarius and out of Scorpio.
Okay.
Because right now you've got a Scorpio rising. And Mars has been going back and forth over your ascendant.
Yes.
And is sitting on your Venus.
Yeah.
And it may be important for you to just talk to the person without talking to the person about the issue. But just act as if you are interested in their story. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm a Scorpio
just,
lady.
You know,
you don't like
Neptune
that.
Sitting
you don't
on
like
your Saturn. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mark.
Do it as an exercise, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I, I tried when we first started. I did. I really did. And then, yeah, but it's so hard. I know. It's a spiritual exercise. I understand. And I thought I was doing better. And then it's flared up again. And I'm like, you know, it's like, do this to me again. And, you know, you'll be lucky if you have, you know, a head attached to your body, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be a situation, though, where you might, as part of that exercise, step back and ask yourself, is there any way I can say something that would cause this person to think differently or even change?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll probably find the answer is no. So then you have to ask yourself, why do I want to get, you know, worked up over it? It's going to go nowhere.
Right.
And rather than something going nowhere and causing friction, you put that same energy into where it can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so then you're not squelching it. You're redirecting it.
Okay.
You know, because I think where you get in trouble is you feel that you're, because of a particular person, you're squelching yourself.
Okay.
But if you look at it as redirecting, then that becomes more palatable. And more work.
Yes. Mhm. Mhm. Because you can't change him; he can't change you.
Right. Well,
and
yeah.
It looks like he's setting off some father stuff, and either your father stuff, or you're setting off his rebellious daughter stuff. There's something going
on
around that.
Yeah, it's clearly not even personal at some point, you know. But, you know, and so I understand that, and I've just been trying to wait for it to diminish, and it just flared up again. I'm like, wait a minute, you know, should I be taking this more seriously? Is this something, you know, I really need to...
I don't think you have to. And again, Mars is getting out of its square to your sun in your, and getting out of its... It's squaring your midheaven to, exactly today.
I know.
But again, when you shine your attention on somebody, they feel good.
Yeah.
So notice that you don't have to inhale his bad energy. Just shine on him some warmth. Like, and it can be, I wish you well. That doesn't mean I like a damn thing you're doing. It just means I wish you well.
Right. And I don't even have to
and
say it to him, right? I can just meditate, right?
Like, you just kind of sit there and kind of waft it at him, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Griscom taught me, you know, she said, just to think what color they need, you know. Does he need green? Just kind of imagine sending him green. Does he need pink?
Okay.
You know, and that gives you a way to kind of send energy without making it personal or emotional or agreeing to anything. But he may diffuse that way.
Okay.
You can't change his thinking. It's ensconced in other fear-based issues. You certainly can't change it this week with, you know, the Republican convention fanning the flames.
Yeah.
But I think that it will back off to a less dangerous situation soon.
Oh, good. Good,
okay?
good.
All right. Good luck.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Great. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. And no one else has raised their hands. And I can't remember which one was the person who called in earlier. So if anybody wants to raise their hand and let me know, we might be able to catch 1 minute. Otherwise, we have 60 seconds left. And what clues would you give, Mark? Would you like them to know about how to manage the aspects of this coming week?
I think basically be sensitive, but don't fall apart.
Excellent.
Things are not as bad as they seem.
Yeah, I agree. And again, to feel that and notice it's just a lot of extra emotional fuel. And if you feel like crying or laughing or wandering in your own feelings, it's kind of good to notice what your emotional experience is. And we didn't get to any other callers tonight. Please do call in next week or email me, and I'll try to make sure that you get on. This is Heather Rowan Robbins and Mark.
Mark Waltz saying goodnight from New York.
And Ann Ortley is out on Long Island and out of phone reach. So good night, everybody, and have a great week. Goodbye.
Okay.